sing it.
The Lord I live, your name, your holy name, Jehovah God
bless you this morning. You can be seated. Girls, I want you to sing us a special this morning and just kind of worship the Lord. We're a blessed people. Brother Brian said last night, he said, you sure have some nice singers in your church. We are blessed with talent, but we're blessed with his presence this morning. That's the most important thing. Mercy and grace. Abraham said, when you look, what do you see? The world is falling apart, but not the believer, not the message.
Amen.
I find no fault in the message.
Yes.
I find life.
Hallelujah.
That's what brought me out of darkness.
Right.
It's what's going to take me home. Right. Brother Glenn, that's what we're looking for. When I looked, is in my darkest hour, I saw love, mercy, and grace. I saw love, mercy, and grace. Yes, I did. Oh, I saw love. Kusark with us from Ohio, little country church down there. Brother Justin Bates is pastor, father-in-law. Brother Brian was mentored by an elder in this message, by Brother Lee Vail. Brother Lee Vail was a friend of the prophet. He scribed the church age book for Brother Branham. And Brother Brian, he said when he got saved and came into message, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, set under that man's ministry. And yeah, he did for many, many years. And he's a wonderful, became a friend of mine. I went down to the wedding, Brother Justin's, and met this man. He treated me so well, so gracious, kind. He's a wonderful believer that way. I think believers should be kind. We should be kind one to another. I think a Christian has that kindness coming out of his heart. Mercy, love, grace. So Brother Brian's with us. We're leaving immediately. I'm sorry he's not going to be around to fellowship with y'all after the service, but we have to leave immediately. We're going to Fairbanks for another service this evening. So you pray for us on the road. Pray for Brother Brian. He'll be probably tired, but God will give him strength. I asked him, I said, is there a special song you'd like to come out to? He said, only believe. I like that. Brother Brown said the angel of the Lord liked that song.
Amen.
Isn't that nice? So we're going to sing it. Brother Brian's going to come. Open your heart to the word now and just enjoy. Tashiki, you look nice today. Saeed, come in. You've grown up a lot. I like to see the Holy Spirit change lives.
Amen. Yes.
He does that.
Yes.
He'll do that for you today, if you let Him. He sent forth His Word and healed him. All your sickness, all your problems, He's sending forth His Word in a few minutes now. Most important part of the service, the prophet said. We can sing too much, pray too much, but I don't ever get tired of hearing a word too much. Only be. Sing, Lord, I believe. Would you sing that for us this morning, ladies? Lord, sing, church. Yes. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. God bless you, Brother Brian.
This morning to John chapter 17. And we'll take our text from verse 14 through verse 21. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And Brother Branham said, how did God send Jesus? He went with him. He went in him. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You know what Brother Branham said about that? He said Jesus wanted to have a family. He wanted to get married. He wanted all these things.
Yes, right.
But he only had 3.5 years to get forth that ministry. So he sanctified himself. He died to self, died to his own desires.
Yes.
He sanctified himself so that we might be sanctified.
Yes. Wow.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe on me through their word. You see the echo coming forth from Jesus, the apostles, to the church age messengers, to the people?
Wow.
That they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, how is it that we could be one with God, our Father, in the same way that Jesus was one with the Father? We've got to bypass a oneness theology to do so. Brother Brown said, Jesus is not one like, and God not one like your finger is one. So how is Jesus and God one? The very next verse. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. That word glory comes from a Greek word doxa. It means the opinions, the assessment, which means the values and the judgments. In other words, God gave Jesus his opinions, and Jesus spoke only God's opinions. God gave him his values, and he lived those values.
Amen. Amen.
And God gave him his judgments. That's his word. And he spoke only that which the Father commanded him to speak. And he said, this same opinions and values and judgments, I've given them that they might be one in the same way you and I are one.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Yes.
Amen.
Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. But we're so thankful, oh God, that you sent a prophet. And not only that, but Father, you came down with a shout.
Amen.
Yeah. It was your message. And you found a humble servant who was willing to die to self that you might reflect that message through him.
Amen.
In such a way that many people actually thought he was you. But Father, we know better. We know that there's one God, one Lord.
Amen.
And you are the Elohim. I love that song we sang before service this morning. About you, O God, Jehovah Elohim, in the midst of your people. And Father, we're so thankful that you came down with a shout, which is, as Brother Branham said, the shout, the voice of Trump. That's the rapture to us. It's a getting the people ready. Father, we're here to get ready. So Lord, we pray that you would allow your values, allow your opinion, and allow your judgments to be the only thing that people see when they see us. As Paul said, I wish to see nothing among you except for one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Help us to be as Paul and be crucified daily. That we are living, but the life that we're living is not our life. It's the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, living in us. For we know, Father, that you sent your Son to die for us. And now you want us to die again. You want us to die to self so that Christ can live again in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I have a message that is dear to my heart. And that is that from the token, I've been preaching on the token. And Brother Brown said in paragraph 20 of the one he preached on September 1st of 1963, he said, we are a dying people. All human beings are headed towards eternity. And then we got this much to take to our decisions on which way that we're going to go.
Yeah, right.
In other words, we have a decision to make. That decision, which way we're going to go. Brother Brown said, you know, another place, he said, what you are here is a reflection of what your other, of where you're going. He said, you have another body. Paul said, when this body terrestrial be dissolved, we have another waiting in glory.
Amen.
We have a body celestial. And he said, what you are here is a reflection. It's an echo, a reflection of that other body. Now, he said, we can take either way that we choose. That's the way he put Adam and Eve, and that's the way he puts us. We must remember that no matter what we do or how successful we are in life, without Christ, we've totally lost everything.
Amen.
Now, this morning, I would like to look at the statement that Brother Brown made here, without Christ, we've lost everything. We find that the Apostle John made a similar command or similar comment in his second epistle called 2 John. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to 2 John, verse 8, he says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now the word wrought, it means worked for. From the Voice translation, it says, ensure that you do not lose what we have worked for, so that you will be fully rewarded. Again, from the NIV translation, it says, watch out that you do not lose what we've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. And I'd like to just add one more from the Weiss translation. Dr. Weiss was a very fine scholar of the Greek. And he said, he reads it this way. Ever be keeping a watchful eye upon yourself. Not keeping a watchful eye upon others.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, that's where we make our mistake. As Brother Bill always told me, he said, Brian, get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel.
Yeah.
The rock that followed the people in the wilderness, what was that rock called? Christ. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus was the man. It was called Christ. It was anointed. It was an anointed vessel that God could use, an anointed rock to save the lives of the children of Israel, giving them water. Oh, hallelujah. So when we get to be thinking that, well, I got this and I know this and everything else, listen, God can use a rock to do better. So we shouldn't be bragging. So he says, ever be keeping a watchful eye upon yourselves in order that you do not lose the things that we have accomplished, but that you might receive a full reward. And remember, when the angel comes, the Bible says, when Christ comes in His glory, in the clouds, He said He's coming to give us our reward. Give a reward to every man. So the Apostle John is letting us know that we are quite capable of losing everything that we seem to have accomplished if we're not very careful. And in the next verse, he tells us how that we can lose it all. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, I'm going to read from the Weiss translation. He says, everyone who goes beyond the limits, because the word transgress means to go beyond the limits. In other words, God sets limits on His doctrine.
Yes.
So he says, everyone who goes beyond the limits of true doctrine and does not remain in the aforementioned doctrine of Christ does not possess God. The one who remains in the doctrine of Christ, this one possesses both Father and Son. If, as is the case, a certain one comes to you and in this teaching he is not bearing, stop receiving him into your house. And stop giving him greeting.
Yeah.
In fact, the King James Version is even a lot more violent.
Yeah.
Refuse him.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
For the one who gives him greeting is a partner in his works, which are pernicious. That means bloodless. So the Apostle John is showing us that as long as we stay within the confines of the doctrine of Christ, we possess both Father and Son. And he's talking about the life of the Father, the life of the Son. Now, because the life of the Son was the same life that was in the Father. John 5:26. Now, the actual Greek word uses the word echo, whereas the English translation, it uses the word hath. You know, it says that he that hath the doctrine of Christ hath both God and his Son, or both the Father and Son. Now, so this word echo is actually translated in the English word as hath, and it was translated by the Weiss translation as possessed. Both echo and possess, they speak of a relationship. Now, the actual, in either case, we see that the word echo is strictly used, speaks of a living reflection of Father and Son. He that does not, he that does not have the doctrine of Christ, he that does not echo the doctrine of Christ, does not echo the Father, does not echo the Son, does not reflect the Father nor the Son. Thus, the life of the Father and the life of the Son reflecting in the individual that echoes both the Father and the Son. Now, this is critical because he first warns us that we can lose this reflection and thus the life of the reflection if we go beyond the limits of the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. In other words, if we are not mindful and careful in echoing of the doctrine of Christ, it is possible for us to come to the place where we are no longer echoing or reflecting the very life of Christ, but we've come to the place where we are just merely repeating it as though it is a learned intellectual understanding or conception.
That's really good.
And when that happens, we've lost what we've worked for. When we repeat it as though it is mere theology and not a life, we have somehow lost the boundaries or the limits of the doctrine. And we have relegated the doctrine of Christ to mere intellect and not the actual reflection or echoing of the life that was in Father and Son.
Yes, sir.
Now notice, he says the very same thing to us. If you open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 12. Only he speaks it a little bit more clearly here. We read it. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. And since the word hath was translated from the same Greek word echo, then we are looking at the fact that if there is a genuine echoing of the Son of God, then there will be also a genuine echoing of the very life that projected forth from the Son of God. So we are not dealing here with mere intellectual recital or repeating of words. We're dealing with the very life of Christ projecting from our own vessel. Notice the words, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now this is quite a statement that the Apostle John gives us, and since we believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, then these words were not John's words, but rather the words of God given to us through God's servant, John.
Amen.
Now this takes us to 2 John 8, where the promise is that if we remain within the limits of the doctrine of Christ, there will be a genuine echoing of Father and Son, and hence a true reflection of the very life of Father and the Son projecting forth from us. Again, he that hath not, let's just read it the way the Greek was. He that echoes not the Son echoes not life. He that echoes the Son echoes life.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice that the Apostle John is speaking to us here concerning two types of people, or shall we say twins. Notice he contrasts those who remain in the doctrine of Christ and those who go outside the limits of the doctrine of Christ, and thus they no longer echo. So we've got those who echo and those who are doing what? Well, maybe quoting, repeating,
right.
Intellectually speaking,
right?
But merely are theologically based in their understanding of the doctrine. John is contrasting the difference between those two different people and whether they echo or whether they don't echo, which is whether they are truly reflecting the life or they are just mimicking the life. One is life, the other does not have life. So one echoes that life, while the other does not echo that life that was in the Son. Now, first of all, he speaks of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine. Now, the word transgress used in this verse of Scripture was translated from the Greek word parabeno, which is made up of two words coming together. The word para, which speaks of location, of proximity, or vicinity, and the word beno, which means to walk or keep pace with. Now, this is very important. Placed together, it speaks of not keeping pace with or going beyond the limits. Therefore, we can read this verse as this. Whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ, he echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. So we see that the comparison that John is speaking of here has to do with those who would abide in, which means to remain in, versus those who will not keep pace with, and thus they've fallen behind, or they've run ahead, as Brother Branham said very plainly many places. He said people miss God by either looking back at what He did, or looking forward to what He's going to do, and they fail to recognize what God is doing right now. Now, I have something to lay out for you this morning. And this isn't in my text, but I just want to say this. When Brother Branham came to understand what his ministry was, what his calling was, Malachi 4, Revelation 10, these things. Brother Branham stepped into that and became that word manifested to our generation.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
Brother Branham said that if God spoke to Moses and he said, speak and go forward. And he said, if Moses would have only spoke, nothing would have happened. Moses had to literally put his foot into the water for the water to part.
Yeah.
Brother Branham had to actually watch that vision transpire, and then at the right time, he had to step into the vision and say, thus saith the Lord. You understand?
Amen.
Well, we don't particularly have a vision, but we do have a vision, and it's in written form to us. The Bible has something for you and I to call to do in this hour. Ephesians 1 says we are foreordained before the foundations of the world to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Branham explained to us what adoption is all about. I'm not going to preach it here, but I'm going to preach it tonight in the service. But just to let you know, when you're born again, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're a child of God. The seed of God is in you. When you receive your body change at the resurrection, that's when you're fully adopted sons. But somewhere between here and here is the state where we are right now.
Right.
We have a status, we're sons of God. We have a state, and that's where are we in our walk to get to here? We're along there somewhere. We are ordained, brother, sister, to this.
Right.
To the change of the body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God began the process here with the shout coming down Himself to give us His glory. His values, His opinions. We step into those. And we begin to manifest as a son of God. People would write to me from all over the world. They said, Brother Brian, what does it mean that there's a manifestation of the sons of God? You know, people had that. They asked Brother Brian these things. They said, you know, are we going to be jumping over buildings, all this kind of stuff? No, that's for the Jews. My question to them back was this. How did Jesus manifest Himself as the eldest son in a vast family of brothers?
Right.
How did He? The Bible says, though he were a son, so we know he's a son. Though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. You can go to John 5:19, John 5:30, you can go to John chapter 7. In John 5:19, 5:30, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. In other words, the Father would have given him a vision, and he stepped into the vision, and now he was reflecting not the Son, he was reflecting the Father. He was declaring the Father to a generation.
Yes.
God was in Christ. The water is in the bottle.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
God was in Christ. Reconciling the world to Himself.
Yeah.
In other words, God was not the vessel. God is Spirit. But God entered the vessel to reflect Himself. But He had to have a willing vessel.
Right.
And Brother Branham said, God came into the three-room house, the body, soul, and spirit of His Son. So He was a son. If He wasn't a son, if He was just a coat, then, you know, like some brothers were kind of coming against what I was teaching overseas, and they were saying, you know, well, Jesus was just a coat. One fellow was saying, well, when the body of Jesus was taken up after He was crucified and raised up from the dead, it went back to the gases. Well, I would like to ask this. How many would like to have a gas bag as your mediator?
Yes, sir.
As your lawyer?
No, sir.
I want the real thing.
Amen.
He sits at the right hand of the Father, right?
Yes.
Now, listen. He was a vessel. But as Brother Bell always said, get your eyes off the vessel. We saw the same God do even greater things in a vessel that was not virgin born in this hour. God did more things in the ministry of William Branham than He did in His own son. In one meeting alone, Durban, South Africa, we could spend weeks just talking about the glorious things that God did there. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you know what I like with Brother Sidney Jackson's testimony, because he lets you know that it was God doing it.
Yes,
right.
Because he said, Brother Branham, 5 miles away, people were getting healed.
Yes.
On their way to the meetings, they were stuck in traffic, and they were still getting healed.
Yeah.
So we know God has visited this generation.
Yes.
Amen.
And he chose a man that had a gift that he gave him from birth to get himself out of the way. And that's the same gift he wants to give you.
Amen.
And all you have to do is die to yourself. Die to yourself. Humble down, because God can never use a proud person. But he can use those that are humble. Now, hallelujah. I'm getting off my notes here, but praise the Lord. So we read, whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both Father and Son. Why? Because Jesus didn't come to please himself. He said, I came to do thy will, O God.
Amen.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, he had his own will, you know, but he gave it up.
Sure.
He said, Father, not my will. My will is that you take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Can we see the same thing?
Amen.
If you die to yourself, you can. Amen. So we see the comparison John is speaking up here that has to do with those men who abide in, which means remains in, versus those who will not keep pace with and will thus not abide in or remain in. And thus they fall out of line. Now, what was the warning from the prophet in the vision? Stay in line, right?
Yes.
The little bride started to step, got a little bit of step out. Stay in line! Well, that's what we're talking about here. Those who will not keep with pace with, those who will not abide in and remain with, and thus they fall out of line, so to speak. And they are no longer walking in the light because the light has moved on and they have stayed still. Let me explain it this way. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if you walk in the light as he is in the light. Not as he was in the light.
Right.
As he is in the light. What is the light for you right now? Is it 50 years ago?
No.
The light for you is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The light for you today is to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers.
Right.
Brother Branham was an older brother in our family, but he wasn't the eldest son. Jesus Christ was the eldest in a vast family of brothers. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about your brother. Brother Branham was your brother. He was an older brother. We look up to him. Brother Vail was my older brother. Brother Branham was his older brother. Paul was Brother Branham's older brother. Jesus Christ was the eldest in this vast family of brothers. We are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. How are we conformed? How are we conformed? It says that we are to be manifested sons of God. How are we to manifest? Now, if you say, well, miracles manifest, let me ask you this. Jannes and Jambres had miracles. Did they manifest sons?
No.
But because he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In other words, come to the place where you humble down and you just follow. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If he says, turn left, you turn left. And you keep on walking, you turn right. He says, turn right, you turn right. And you know, maybe he'll bring you to that Aunt Jemima. And you'll have prayer for her, just like that.
Amen.
What the prophet did.
Amen.
Don't worry about the plane. God takes care of all things to work together for the good of those that love the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? Okay. Now the danger that I see is that the foolish virgin once had oil in their lamp. But it ran out. They once walked in the light as he is in the light. But somehow they stopped moving forward with the light. And what light they had become stagnated and transformed from echo to recital. Oh, brother. If you walk in the light as he is in present tense light, you're walking with him. You're in his presence. There's an appearing before the coming. His presence is here. Brother Bram said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Well, if we haven't reached the millennium yet, which we haven't, I've got clues for you, we haven't. The sheep aren't lying down with the wolves, are they? People killing each other for tennis shoes. The weapons have not been made into plowshares. So, he's still leading them. Moses went off the scene. Joshua remained on the scene. Brother Brown said, our Joshua is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still here. He's still leading.
Amen.
And if you're walking with him daily, you're walking in the light. If you're focused on down the road, you're focused on in the past, you know, he might turn a corner and you'll miss it. And the corner I believe many are missing is that, look, They're focused on what God did in Malachi 4, Revelation 10, etc. But they're not focused on Ephesians chapter 1. There's a spirit of adoption. And the brother answered, the spirit of adoption is that the son was only about his father's business. It wasn't about the son. It was about daddy.
Amen.
And he said, when the son got to the place where he was so in tune, so one like the father took him aside, put a new coat on him. That's our glorified body.
Right.
Put a new coat on him like he did with Isaac did with Joseph. And he said, okay, I have full trust in him. Now, here he him. What God wants to do with you. He wants you to come. Look, listen. On the other side, when the New Jerusalem comes down, during the millennium sometime, we're going to have to learn how to be kings and priests, because we're going to take the healing of the nations, we're going to take those leaves and take them out to the world.
Right.
I don't understand it all, but I'll tell you one thing. A prophet said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? So, we're ever learning. We've got to come to that place.
Yeah.
And our focus is not on the vessel. You start looking at the vessel of God gave them in the wilderness. He gave them the brazen serpent. It became an idol to them. The rock became an idol. The cloud became an idol. The pillar of fire became an idol. You know, God isn't even that pillar of fire, but He lives in that pillar of fire. It represents the Shekinah presence. You see? We've got to get our eyes off the vessel and get our eyes on the God who's using the vessel. Amen. Just like Jesus did. Now the danger is, as I said, the foolish virgin, they lost. They had oil in the lamp, but they lost it. They were walking in the light at one time. They were echoing at one time. And because they stopped and the pillar of fire kept moving on, they lost focus. What is supposed to happen? Where am I along this journey to this? Brother Branson, where the Pentecostals went wrong, they said when they got to there, the new birth, they said, that's it. That's all of it. Listen, he even said when the oneness come along, they got this attitude on them. He said they had a great revelation. God was opening things up to them and they got cocky.
Yeah.
They got proud. They said,
yes.
We got it, you ain't got it. Brother Brown said, right there, they died.
Right
there, they died. Now, see, if they had died to themselves, they wouldn't have died to him. Amen. Now, Brother Brown said in a sermon, Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, now if the shuck, you know, when the shuck dries out, if the life tried to go back to the shuck to live again, it would never work.
Amen.
He said, go back after that old shuck is dried up, ever go back to that, live in it again? It never does. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, did move on with the word of God as it come to pass. As it come to pass. He said, they're dead, they're gone. And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned. Is that right? He's the I am. He's not the I was.
Right.
Now, and if they are dead, then the life that was once in the shuck has left the shuck. We all know that. Therefore, to go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ tells us that those who do not keep pace with or remain in the doctrine of Christ as it's coming to pass, as Brother Branham said, therefore, they do not echo God, nor are they reflecting His life present tense.
Yes.
The oil has gone out of their vessel. They once had oil in it, but it's gone. They once walked in the light as it was breaking, but now they are fixated on the light from 20 years ago, although the light's still moving on with Him who is the light. So to put it bluntly, they once walked in the light, and while they walked, they had life. But they stopped to look back, and the light kept moving on, but they did not, because they stopped to look back.
Yes.
Remember the girl that stopped to look back?
Yes.
Very soon she had a demon in her. She was a Holy Ghost filled Christian, and now all of a sudden she got a demon. Why? She stopped to look back. Hebrews warns us, if they had been mindful of the place where they came out of, they might have had reason to go back. You see? On the other hand, those who remain in the doctrine of Christ are those who echo present tense, which is to reflect the life of both Father and Son, present tense. Because the pillar of fire is still leading us to the millennium. Now, the word hath is what we wish to examine this morning, because we find the word hath is used in both of our texts. And this most important scripture of 2 John 9 concerning the doctrine of Christ is actually, it's opened up to our understanding because it is identified in John 1 John 5 and 12. And once you understand what this word hath means, you will understand that the same thing is being spoken of in both these scriptures, both showing the consistency and the continuity of the word. In examining the word hath, we find the word was translated from the Greek word echo, and is used over 600 times throughout the scripture. The Greek word echo has various applications of usage, including to have or to hold. You know, like we do in the ceremony, we say, will you so-and-so have this woman? Will you take this woman to have and to hold? It shows possession. And so does the word echo shows possession, but it shows more than possession. No matter how you slice it, both meanings of the word echo show possession or relationship. And so we can see that the root meaning of this word speaks of relationship, whether directly or remotely. And thus the main strength of usage concerning this word has to do with continuity of relationship. I was listening to a message the other day, and Brother Brown was talking about shame on you men who don't have the same flame of love for your wife that you used to have. She's still the same wife. You see, and shame on you women that, you know, have, you know, the same thing. You don't have the continuity there. In other words, the life has gone out. Amen. Or to make it simple, continuing. Continuity of relationship is continuing in the relationship. Now, in the same way, Jesus told us, he says, verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, in other words, those people who hear, recognize, and then act upon the word, I think I might have skipped a page here. Yeah, I did. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means preached. And in thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, Brother Bell knew Dr. Hoyer, who was perhaps the best student of Greek language the country had ever had. And he said this very verse should be translated, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. In other words, a great divorcement. In other words, it speaks to us of that great divorcement, and this is no different than those who walked in the light and had the same echo, the same reflection of light for a season, but who stopped walking. In the same way, Jesus says here in verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. In other words, those people who hear, those people who recognize and then act upon the word of God, he says, I will liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. We know the word rock means revelation. In other words, if you hear, recognize, and then act upon, it is because it's revealed to you. That's revelation. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Revelation. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not. You hear, but you don't do. In other words, they may have heard, but because they did not recognize, then they did not act upon. Because it was not truly revealed to these people. You see, if it was truly revealed, that means it's truly recognized. Uh-huh. Right?
That's it.
And if it's truly recognized, you act upon it.
Yes. Right.
But if you hear it, but it's not truly recognized, it's not a revelation, there's no action there. Now, the same rain came, the same winds came, the same floods came, but the one built upon revelation withered those storms because it was revealed to them, and therefore it was life to them.
Amen.
The others did not weather the storms, although they heard with their ears, they did not understand with their hearts because it was not revealed to them. And that is exactly what Jesus taught also in Matthew 13, verse 10 to 17. We read, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given for you to know, but it's not given for them to know.
Amen. Amen.
So here is two groups again, both hear, but only one understands what they heard, while the other one hears and they do not understand. And the reason one understands while the other does not understand is because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that no man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God be in him. You have got to be born again to understand this message, or it's just a bunch of preaching.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of miracles. Maybe you're looking at the vessel, you're looking at the man, and therefore then you say, I believe the sign, but then when the truth comes forth, you don't receive the doctrine he taught. And the doctrine is critical. The doctrine is very critical. Now, and Jesus said, Paul says, no man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. Therefore, the one who hears and recognizes and acts upon the Holy Ghost, while the ones who hear not, but do not recognize and therefore do not act upon, are those who cannot understand the things of God because they do not have the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, and there's that Greek word again, echo, for whosoever echoes, whosoever is made of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. Why? Because when it comes out the original time, and then it's echoed and echoed and echoed and echoed. Look, an echo means more of the same.
Right.
Right? And why more abundance if you echo? Because an echo gives the same word over and over and over again. Word piled upon word piled upon word piled upon word. In other words, it is life, and life is constantly reproducing itself over and over again. And when the life stops reproducing, the life is going up. That's called cell growth. And only living cells can do this. But whosoever hath, or whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he's echoing. Now, if it's taken away, then what's he doing? He's just reciting. He thinks his reciting is an echo. Like Billy Paul one time in his testimony, he said something to his sister, Sarah. And she started bawling. He said, what's the matter? I just said what Daddy said. She said, you didn't say it the same way he said it. So what is an echo? Is an echo merely being able to quote, 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 quote? You can quote yourself right to hell.
Yes, sir.
An echo is like Brother Branham said, say what is on the tapes. Yeah. Say it exactly the way it's said.
Right.
I'll put it this way. I can say the same word and mean 180 degree difference. I can say, I can be standing there with the brothers and one of them say, we'll say, oh boy, that woman's really beautiful. And you go, that means she's a beautiful woman. Is that correct? But then you can say it this way, very same way. Oh boy, that woman's really beautiful. What did I just do?
Right.
I said just the opposite. I said she's
right.
Ugly.
Yeah.
But I use the same words. That woman, she's really beautiful. But the inflection...
Right.
Yeah. The spirit behind the words is just the opposite of what was said. It's not an echo. It might repeat. You might quote, quote, quote. And you're not saying it the way the prophet said it. You don't have the same spirit in you that he had to say it. Yeah. Now, those are things to study, brothers. All right. All right, verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, the ones who echo not, because they are the ones who do not have the Spirit living in them, because seeing, yet they see not.
Amen.
And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand.
Amen.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, the prophets, you know, the prophets are the eyes, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should have to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now, we stated earlier that the word echo speaks of continuity, and the word continuity means the state or quality of being continuous. An uninterrupted succession or flow. A coherent whole, a detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot in a film. In other words, there's got to be a continuity. All right?
Yep.
Add one word, you break the continuity.
Yep.
Take one word out, you break the continuity.
Right.
So as you can see, all these descriptions show the attribute of what an echo really is. And the purpose of an echo is to bring about continuity and an uninterrupted succession.
I like it.
Or flow, so to speak. to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot or from voice to voice to make it more scriptural. In other words, the promise is if you walk in the light as He, present tense, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. That's God's promise to us in 1 John 1:7. So it's essential that we continue to walk in the light as He is walking in the light. And if we stop, we can no longer echo. You cannot echo what was yesterday. You can repeat it, but echo it must be present tense. Now, if you had a system here, and we could just show you, if you turn up the echo, I could show you that the echo, the original voice is not an echo. But everything off of that. Everything is a offshoot or a offspring echoes. And as sons of God, we are offspring. So we should be echoing the original seed.
Yes.
Amen? Now, all right. In other words, God's promise in 1 John 1:7 is so essential that we continue to walk in the light as He's walking. If we stop, we no longer echo. You cannot echo what was said yesterday. You can only repeat. You can only have an intellectual conception, and maybe if your memory is good enough, you can say it. Now, but we might remember, we might remember things that were said yesterday, and thus we can repeat possibly through memorization, and we might say those things that He once said, but that's not the same as echoing. To echo shows present tense. The source has to be present for it to be echoed. Quoting shows we just are repeating something that was once said in times past. But to echo, the literal voice must be present to echo. And there is a big difference between echo and repeat. Thus, echoing is reflecting and not merely reciting as intellectuals would do. Thus, you can see that an echo will keep the continuity of thought and speech, because an echo not only will say the same thing, but will bring forth the same inflection and dynamics of the original speech time, and time again it proceeds forth in the same course of life, and it will produce the same result.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, if you are a believer, Brother Bram clarified that, he said you can't be a believer, you can't say Jesus is the Christ, you can't be a believer unless you got the Holy Ghost. Then if you got the Holy Ghost, you got the same nature. Then if you got the same nature, you'll say the same things. You'll act the same way. You'll have the same life.
Yes.
You'll do the same work.
Yes.
I don't know why people have problems with that. It just, to me, it baffles my mind that they don't understand Genesis 1:1. Every seed will bring forth after its kind. You see? Thus, echoing is reflecting and not merely reciting as the intellectual will do.
Uh-huh.
Thus, you can see that an echo will keep the continuity of thought and speech, because an echo not only will say the same thing, but it will bring forth the same inflections, it will bring forth the same dynamics of the original speech, and it will bring forth the same life. That is why we are taught in Scripture that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because when you hear, you not only hear the words, but also the inflection and the spirit on which those words were said. But just reading the word doesn't bring forth faith the same way. Now, you might have a little bit of faith there. It might help you a lot. But hearing. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. Hearing brings faith because only in hearing are we getting the spirit's inflection or reflection in the tone, in the inflection, and all the characteristics associated with the spoken word. That's why in my house we have made it a habit that every night we put on Brother Branham's voice. Put on the tape. You know, when I was a young Christian, I thought, well, I want to be respectful. I don't want to fall asleep listening to Brother Branham. Then I got a little bit wiser, older, and I said, well, hey, I'd rather fall asleep listening to him than listen to something else. I mean, if I go to sleep listening and I wake up in the middle of the night listening and I get up in the morning listening, I've got an atmosphere I'm getting up to. I've got an atmosphere I'm sleeping to. Try sometime. You listen to Brother Bram all night and your dreams will go from carnal to spiritual. Because you're living in an atmosphere. Even Brother Bram said you could put a little chicken egg under a warm pop, and the atmosphere is what brings forth the hatching. So, stay in the voice. That's the light, I believe. Now, thus the spoken word, as we know, is original seed. And as the seed, it is subject to the commands of God concerning all seeds, which is Genesis 1:11. Every seed must bring forth after its own kind or nature. Thus, in each seed that comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or reflect what nature is in the seed. And if the original spoken word is seed, then that spoken word must bring forth after its kind. I believe what we saw in William Branham, not the sign of Messiah, that's specific to a prophet, but all the other acts of the Holy Ghost, we saw healings, we saw love, we saw tenderness, we saw just all those attributes of Christ, they should be in the bride.
Yes.
Because we're sons.
Yes.
Now, Jesus had it by full measure, we have it by measure. But we still have the same. Brother Brad said we might have only a cupful. You know, this is not the same as having a gallon, but the fact is, or the ocean. Brother Brad might have had a gallon. We got like a little teaspoon. It doesn't matter. He had a, you know, because Paul said every man has a measure.
Right.
Some men have a greater measure than others, but Jesus had all of it. All of it. And yet it's the same quality. So, in other words, Brother Bosworth, as an example. Brother Bosworth loved to pray for people that had a hearing problem. Because he had a certain faith for that. And they cleared out an entire house, an entire school of deaf in Chicago. All, I think it was like 200 kids or something, they came from that school, he prayed for everyone, everyone was healed. Children that had no eardrums, born without eardrums, given eardrums. Now listen, he wasn't even a vindicated prophet. But he believed God's word. And he echoed it. You can do the same. Listen, he wasn't privy to the life that we have. He came, he went off the scene. He went, in 46, he went off the scene. Then he hung around with Brother Branham for another few years, and then he passed away. But the message, Brother Branham entered in where Brother Bosworth basically left off. Brother Bosworth became his mentor on the field. But then Brother Bosworth was looking for, he told Brother Bell, sitting in service in Miami, he said, Brother Lee, he said, I've been looking for the life of Jesus Christ reflected in the church, and here it is. Here it is. Brother Branham was so conformed to the image of the firstborn son that many people thought he was.
Yes.
How many people think you are? Huh? All right, then let's be humble. Because Brother Branham was a very humble guy. You see? All right. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original will be behind it. Because the expression or dynamics of that word will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats over and over again, and the repetition being reflected from echo to echo will carry along with the same expression of dynamics and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded. From marriage and divorce, Brother Brown said, now listen, do you see, one interruption spoils the entire program.
Yeah.
Now when human beings was running in continuity with God, one man, one woman, this woman sinned. And it throws the whole earthly program out of continuity with God. Therefore, one word added to this book, or one word taken from it, throws a Christian out of continuity with God. It throws a church out of continuity with God. It throws a family out of continuity with God. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. And the beauty of what we're looking at here is that an echo is a continuity of the original word. In other words, as Brother Branham said, the spoken word is the original seed. I preached 268 sermons on that. Taking every thought, Brother Branham said, taking it right back to the Scripture, running from Genesis to Revelation. And what amazed me was Brother Branham spoke. He said, spoken word seed, will, or Son of God seed, will produce Son of God. He said, that's why I'm putting forth these seeds. He was the wave sheaf.
Right.
We're supposed, listen, I do a little farming, not much, 8 acres. I'm learning. I'm no expert. Some of you maybe know a lot more on this than I do. But I learned one thing, that before I can have my harvest, before the guy will come to harvest, I've got to have the guy local, you know, the local guy from the granary, he'll come out and take a sample. If the sample's ready, the rest will be ready. Hey, we've had the sample ready. God's just waiting on us. Are we ready for harvest? Amen? One interruption spoils the whole thing. Okay. From the Smyrnian church age, Brother Branham said, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And as Brother Bell explained to me, he said, faithfully taught is two things. You have to have one who's faithful to teach, and you have to have others who are faithful to shut up and listen.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Not, well, I think, and I... No, just shut up and listen.
Yes, sir,
but, of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messenger, and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. In other words, we are nothing but an echo.
That's right.
You know, there's some people who think certain ministers are a little bit higher than others, and they kind of want to put them as a kind of a eighth messenger, although they won't come out and say it. But they want you to go through that particular ministry in order to understand what the prophet said. That's hogwash.
Yes, right.
That's totally... Forgive me for using those words, but that's kind of... my mentor is that way, so I kind of reflected over that. But as Brother Vail said, look, he said, I'm not vindicated. He said, but I'm only echoing a vindicated message. Are we echoing the same?
Absolutely.
Amen. When it is the voice of God speaking, it will say the same thing, the same way of the echo... The same way from echo to echo to echo, always the same way and the same meaning. But quoting or repeating by memory is not so. When man begins to move from walking in the light as he, God, is in the light, he moves away from the living word and he moves into an intellectual repetition. In other words, an echo is a living reflection, whereas just repeating the doctrine is based on memory and intellect and is not living, but it's theology and it's dead.
Right.
The word killeth, but the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what time is it? I'll try to wrap up. Well, we've got, it's only what, 11?
Yeah, it's a quarter after 10.
Okay. All right, I just have a couple more pages. Years ago, I heard Brother Vail preach a message called the Omega Reflection, 83 and 84. And in it, he spoke of when Moses came down in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When Moses came down, or chapter 3, when Moses came down from the mountain and his face was aglow with the presence of God. You all remember that, it's Numbers 5. And the people made Moses, they were so afraid because that his face was actually shining, the Shekinah was all over his face. The people were uncomfortable with that. They put a veil over his face. Yeah. Paul said, the veil is taken away in Christ. He said, that's the traditions and creeds. You see? And the people had put a veil over his face because they were afraid of his face glowing from the Shekinah presence of God. And Brother Vail went on to speak of how the prophet is in direct line with the light or the pillar of fire as it reflects. And if we could just stand there in that same light, pretty soon it would begin to reflect from us.
Amen.
Amen.
In other words, you stand before a mirror at night. Go into your bathroom. Just try this as an example. Go into your bathroom. Shut the lights off. Stand in front of the mirror, you can't see nothing. Right? Go to the door, open the door a little bit, put a light on the hallway. Just put enough light so that you can stand in front of the mirror and you might see a little shine in your forehead. Open your eye, you might see a little bit of white in your eyes, your teeth, but that's about it. Open the door a little bit more, and the more light you shine, the more your image comes into the mirror. Correct?
Yes.
Well, when we look into the mirror of God's Word, what are we seeing? You see, when you're standing in that mirror, looking in front of that mirror, you're not seeing yourself, you're seeing light. And when we look in the mirror of the Word, we see light, we see Christ. We don't see ourselves no more. We are dead and our life is hid with God in Christ. Amen? So a true echo will say what has been said in the same way that it was said. Now that we know that the Greek word that was translated for the word hath is echo, I'd like to read again those verses of Scripture, 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now again, let's just plug in our understanding of what the Scripture is telling us and use the actual words that best fit the Scripture. Whosoever does not keep pace with and therefore goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. Why? Because if you do not keep pace with, then you're either speeding up or you're slowing down. And an echo cannot speed up or slow down. It must say it just the way it was said. That's why Brother Bram said, say what's on those tapes and only what's on the tapes, and say it like it was on the tape. Because he was saying it on the tape just like God said it. God came down with a shout. Now, you don't get an echo from a whisper. I'm sorry, but I've never heard one. Have you? God came down with a shout. Right? And if you're made in such a way, you'll begin to echo. You can't help but echo. Hallelujah. And the prophet could not help but echo. Amen. Oh, I love that. Whosoever does not keep pace with and therefore goes beyond the limits of Christ echoes not God. All right? Because he was saying it on those tapes just like God said it. God's the one who came down with a shout. God came down with a message. Because that was God speaking lip to lip with his prophet.
Yes.
As he promised to do. And John continues, he that abideth, which means to remain in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now let's examine this in the light of our next text, which is 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath, or he that echoes, the Son echoes life. And he that hath not, or he that echoes not, the Son echoes not life. Then if you cannot echo the Son, you cannot echo the life of the Son. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You see? And God is life. For you see, when Jesus came, he said, it is written in the book of the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. As I said in John 5:19, John 5:30, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. That doeth the Son likewise. In John 7:16, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In John chapter 10 and John chapter 12, he said, the words that I speak, the Father commanded me what to say and what to do. So he was totally, you didn't see the Son, you saw God when you saw that Son. Because he was a perfect reflection, he was a perfect echo of the Father. The Bible says, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the Son hath declared him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, all right. Then if you cannot echo the Son, you cannot echo the life of the Son, and God is life. All right. Now we see the Son of God reflected or echo the Father in every detail. Thus, he that can echo the Son will echo the life, for God is life. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both the Father and Son. In other words, your words will not be your own words. They'll be right from this Bible. Your actions will not be your own actions. It'll be the actions of Christ living in you. Because your thoughts will be his thoughts. Brother Bram got the place. He said, Lee, all my thoughts are of God. Since Brother Bram was transported to that other side, he said, I have no more fear. And he said, all my thoughts are of God. Now, are all your thoughts of God, or are all your thoughts following whatever hockey team or football team or, you know? All my thoughts are of God. That's the only way you're going to be a perfect reflector. For if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we will also echo the Father, because Jesus was echoing the Father. For an echo is not a one-time event, but happens over and over again. Thus, Jesus, the first fruit, was the first repeat of the Father to us.
Yeah.
You see? And we catch the vision and are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, that's Romans 8, then we will also do nothing unless the Father shows us first, which is John 14:12. And what will we? And what we teach are the commandments of the Father, which he gave to us through the echo of his firstborn Son. And thus an echo, and we will then echo them to others. They are repeat after repeat after repeat, showing, or echo after echo after echo, showing the Word is living and abiding, or in a continuity of his own life. As I said before, Jesus died so that you can live. Is that right? God then wants us to die so that he can live again in you. He wants to live as a housewife. He wants to live as a mechanic. He wants to live as a farmer. He wants to live, you know, as a fisherman. He wants to live your life for you. Just like your heart, when your heart pumps, it shows you're alive. Notice we have a machine. You know what the machine's called? The machine actually registers your heart. And what it's, you know what it's called? It's called an echocardiogram. It's echoing the life of your heart. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Yeah? Because it is based on the echo of your heart. So, to your echoing, the Word of God again and again shows that you're alive in Christ. And just as in the natural, the heart pumping the blood, which the life is in the blood, and thus the pumping of the heart is evidence that you are alive in the natural, so too in the spiritual, the echoing of the life of Christ in your heart, and the heart represents an understanding, then thus as the understanding echoes the Word again and again, it is an evident token that you're alive in Christ. And the life that was in the Father and given to the Son quickens you also that you were made alive. And it, like Paul says in Romans, I believe it is 8 and 11, he said, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken, it'll make alive your mortal being. Yeah. Now, a mortal being, now people say, well, yeah, when I get my body changed. No, a mortal being, a mortal is someone who's capable of dying. So that's right now. It's this body right here. You won't need it over there. Yeah. Brother Branson, you won't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost over there.
Right.
All right? That is why Paul would say in Galatians 2 and 20, I am. In other words, present tense today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not me that's living. It's Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith. The faith. There's only one Lord, one faith. I'm living by the faith of the Son of God who gave His life for me. So who's living your life? That's the question. Are you living your life? Then forget it. It's lost. Is Christ living your life? Listen. If your words are the words of thus saith the Lord. You see, thus saith the Lord means the Lord says thus. And the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or she will keep what? Still. I want to get to the resurrection and through all of that and into the white throne. And I want when my life is reflected back, it's just going to be Jesus. Jesus,
yeah.
Jesus,
amen.
Jesus,
yes,
Jesus. Oh yeah, over here, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah. There you go.
Why? Because He's already been accepted.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you know, if you're a son of God or a daughter of God, you're born to that.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. All right. You know, John 5:26 is, for the Father hath life in Himself, and so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and to him to whomsoever will. Now, whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to echo the Son of God will also echo the Father who is life. Now let's look again at the word hath in reference to the effect it has upon those who possess the ability to echo versus those who cannot. And I just have another page and we'll close. Matthew 13:12. For whosoever hath, that means whosoever echoes, or of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given. And he shall have more abundance. And why is that? Because an echo just over and over and over again. But whosoever hath not, or echoes not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he's echoing. Now the term hath life is used 23 times in the New Testament. But in my examining each and every one of them, the word hath life, I found that the word hath was not always translated from the Greek word echo. And to my amazement, the only times that it was taken from another word than the word echo is when it referred to something that God Himself did. Why is that? Because God don't echo. Who's He going to echo? He's the original. Amen? His spoken word is the original. It's not an echo. But each time that word reflects from one to the next, it is echoing. Therefore, the source of life does not echo, but we echo what He said. Notice in 1 John 3 and verse 15 as example, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and we know that no murderer echoes eternal life abiding in him. Now, the word hath was translated as echo, so we see that no murderer can echo life. But as we examine 1 John 5 and 11, and this is the record of God, that God hath given to us, notice God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son Jesus. Notice here that the word echo was not used, but it was actually an interpolation. The word hath was just inserted there, even though there was nothing there. Simply put, God not hath given, but God gave. God gave to us eternal life. Now, we've already seen the usage in this verse, 1 John 5 and 12. He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, we read, when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Then hath God. Now, the Greek word, notice it's not God hath, it's not, but it says hath God. But it's not the Greek word echo, it's the Greek word didomi, which means to give. Simply put, God gave to the Gentiles. In closing, John 5:15-13, greater love echoes no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his brother. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son echoes everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. Notice all of these. Echo represents life. Everlasting life. John 6:54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood echoes eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear echoes, he that is such a nature as to be able to echo and thus echo, let him hear what God saith unto what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise. John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might echo life through his name. And 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. You echo him, you're echoing life. Let's all stand to our feet and we'll bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I just marvel, O God, when I hear your prophet, yes, see the films, and recognize, Lord, not only the power, your power, but I see the humility, the love, the attributes that we saw your Son express when he said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. As your prophet said, that was Jesus' greatest victory, was in Gethsemane. Because Jesus had to die to Jesus before he could die on the cross. And we have to die to ourselves.
Yes, we do.
Before we can be raised up. So, Father, I just pray that you, oh God, help each and every one of us not to look upon our neighbor and say, you got to die, but to look at ourselves. Because the Weiss translation says, be careful for yourself that you lose not those things which you wrought. I can't worry about my brother and tell him until I look at my own reflection. I've got to die that the life of Christ might live in me. And Father, I pray that each vessel here this morning would so yield themselves and so die to self that the works that your Son did, and knowing he didn't do any of it, you did it for him. And knowing our answers in the next verse where he said, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And Father, the same way that you showed your Son Jesus what to do, we're asking you to show us what to do. And we believe we'll have the same results. Because your scripture says, oh God, it says if our hearts condemn us not, then we can come boldly to thy throne. Then we can ask what we will.
Yes.
And it shall be given. I would like to pray right now. Father, if there be any in here who have a need of healing,
yes,
we pray that your presence being among us,
yes,
not even having to lay hands on the sick, that's Mark 16, but John 14:12, we saw Peter, James, and John walking through the gate beautiful. And just their shadow passed over those people and they were healed. That took all the glory away from Peter, James, and John and it placed it where it ought to be. For you, O God, are the great healer. You are the great physician. Father, if there be any blind, we pray you to open their eyes. If there be any deaf, we pray you to open their ears. Lord, if there be any that have cancer, we pray that you would kill that cancer spirit. And now, Father, we will say as your prophet said, we take control of every spirit in here by the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Thou afflicting spirits, thou deaf spirit, thou blind spirit, thou infirm spirit, thou lame spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of those children of God, because your stinger was pulled on Calvary. You're only a bluff. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the praise, O God, all the honor and all the glory. And now, Father, we ask that you would put skin on your word.
Yes, Lord.
That you would manifest yourself to us, showing us that you're still here leading. For we believe, Father, that your pillar of fire is still in our midst. We believe that you are leading us to the millennium. We believe that you're leading us into the example of your Son Jesus to die to self. And so, Father, we pray now that you would manifest the same way that you did in our prophet, because manifested through him was the same was manifested through your Son Jesus, through Columba, through Martin, through St. Patrick, through Paul. We see it all the way through the ages. We don't always look at the great miracles that took place in John Wesley's ministry, but there were many, many hundreds of them. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind every spirit in here for the glory of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Only believe.
God bless you, Brian.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful side of the mountain. I'm a prophet. I'm a son.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Beautiful. Reflecting, echoing. That's our job now.
Amen.
It's like Brother Brown and echo the life of Christ to us.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. You know why? I believe that. Because when I heard it, there were such a witness in us. Huh?
Amen.
I believe the Holy Spirit put a stamp of approval in my heart on what he said.
Yes, sir.
Can't you see why I'm happy? Can't you see why I love this message?
Amen.
Can't you
see why I'm happy?
Broke up here and it cost us a few hundred dollars.
$100 to fix it. What's a few $100 on the set aside? We got half of it already taken up in the back room back here. So we'll need $200. Now it's $400. I'm sure we'll get it. It makes it easy for worship. I like it. It makes it easy for watching the videos that we have, the prophet, things like that. It's all about Him.
Amen.
I like it. Love that. I love it. You know, we don't, we get a lot of teaching in Sunday school, but we don't often get a teacher to come up and make a Sunday morning service like that. I love it. I don't know about you guys, but I thoroughly fed preachers in the Bible, get about 2,000 or 3,000 messages off that sermon. But you know, you can just kind of have to slow down. Just lay on, maybe quick in my pen. I was thinking so fast. God bless you, Brother Brian. That was wonderful. Jesus. All for Jesus.
Jesus.